Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
On the first day of the week at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. This is our text. It's like waking up from a deep sleep. Waking up from a deep sleep, maybe on a morning when the alarm never buzzed, or following a long afternoon nap. Or like that time you fell asleep on vacation and then woke up so disoriented. You're groggy, confused, out of it. The sunlight streams through the window at an unexpected angle. The world around looks different than it should. You don't know where you are. You can't make sense of what time it is, and you're not quite sure what's happening. For a moment, you feel dislocated, undone. Like reality is completely different than what you'd always believed, and your brain is trying to catch up to it, but can't quite get there. You struggle to make sense of the facts of the world, but it just doesn't add up. That's what it's like for the women who go to the tomb at early dawn on the first day of the week with their spices. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Joanna, they wake that Sunday morning bleary-eyed and confused. No, it hadn't been a late night for them. And no, it wasn't just because it was early. Their minds were clouded. They can't understand what they're seeing and hearing. None of it makes sense. Why, they'd seen where he was laid the night before last. Only now nothing's where it should be. And he isn't there. And what in the world is going on? That's what they experience. And it's the same way for the apostles. The women come babbling nonsense about the stone having been rolled away, but not finding the body of the Lord Jesus. And oh, there were two men in dazzling apparel. How to describe it? You just had to be there. And why seek the living among the dead? Someone is risen. Whatever that means. Don't you remember how he told you? But we'd forgotten. And it didn't make any sense at the time. But he had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And now it's the third day, and don't you know what that means? And the apostles don't know what it means. And they've got no clue what the women are talking about. The words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they didn't believe them and just sort of dismissed it. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb to see for himself. Stooping and looking in, fearful but curious, he sees the linen cloths by themselves. And that's really weird, because they should have been wrapped around a dead body. And he goes home marveling at what had happened, but not actually knowing what that was. Like waking up from a dream, except the dream made more sense to him than the waking. The plain fact is that Jesus died. Jesus died, and they really can't wrap their minds around the truth that there's something after death. Of course they believe it, in theory, but they've never really grasped what comes next because it all seemed so final. The thorns, the nails, the cross, the stone, so final. But now everything's turned on its head. And what does it all mean? And do you get it? They are groggy and they are confused and they are out of it. The women, the apostles, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. That's not what it was like for our Lord. He didn't wake up wondering where he was or what had happened or where the time had gone. God the Father gave him a little nudge, and he simply sat up in the tomb, stretched once or twice, and rubbed the crusties out of his eyes. Then he swung his legs over the side and stood up and walked out into life. He walked into life. Like all that flogging and spitting and mocking, like all the sin and sadness and death, as if the serpent and the garden and the shame and everything that the children of Adam and Eve had gone through in the years since had been a long, terrible nightmare, but now was over. Because it was. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus didn't live to die. He didn't live to die. That's the way we think of it. We think first you're born and then you die and in between you do some stuff. But that's all backwards. Jesus died to live. He got death out of the way for himself and for all of us. He treated it like a nap. And then he simply got up and went on into life as it was always intended to be. He walked right out of the tomb with the old scars, but a new man, made alive by the Spirit, holy and truly alive in a way that we can only begin to dream about, except that he promised. He promised, whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever believes has eternal life already. Right now, in this moment, even if you're just waking up to it and can't quite make sense of it, and it feels all wrong because all the old stuff clings to you like a burr to your shoes. But what's actually wrong is the old life. That's what's wrong. Not this Jesus risen from the dead. That's what's right. What's wrong is that old life of sin and death and selfishness that absorbs us and the fear and the hiding. I mean, sure, that stuff's real in a way, I guess. But it's not more real than Jesus. Jesus stood up and said, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." The former things, whatever those might be for you, they won't bother you anymore. You can forget about all of it. Forget about your sin. Forget about your shame. Forget about your hurt. Stop nursing it. Forget about your sicknesses. Just forget about it. "I'm taking care of all that for you," Jesus said. "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness, and my own risen body is the living proof. All shall be made alive." All shall be made alive. Christ, the first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. That's you. And that's me. First, already right now for the soul, and soon for our bodies as well. At his coming, those who belong to Christ. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet fully appeared. But we know that when he appears again, we shall be like him, risen, for we shall see him as he is. And that's the gospel truth right there. He's alive, and he's with us always, even to the end of the age, and he's coming again, this Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've spent too much time acting like death is after us. It's not death that's after us. It's life. Why else did he rise from the dead except to come back for you? He didn't do it for himself, you know. He did it for you. And he's holding out those scarred hands for you, and he's saying, "Look what I did for you." And why else did he give you his word and holy baptism and the holy absolution and holy communion, that precious gift of his living and life-giving body and blood? Why else did he give us these things but so that he could give us his life? And here we are today. And it's true, in ways we've been wasting our lives and we've been living in unreality and we've been acting as if that unreality is real and treating all this Jesus stuff like it's fiction or science fiction or a romance, like it's a fun story, but that's all it is. And we've been trying to cover up the smell of sin and death in our own way. We've been trying to hide it and bury it and pretend like it doesn't exist, when the fact is that Jesus already has that stuff covered. What that means is that you can name it. You can name that sin in your life, that shame in your life, that hurt in your life that you've been struggling with. You can name it, and you can give it to Jesus, and he'll take care of it. And I'm telling you, the women couldn't have made this stuff up. And the apostles might not have believed it at first, but they didn't have a better explanation. There's only one way these pieces fit together. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is what it means. Wake up. It means it's time to wake up. And it's his voice that you hear, his voice cutting through your nightmares and your bad dreams and your sorrows. And you may be struggling to make sense of it, and you may only half believe, and maybe you stepped inside of this church or any church for the first time in an age and an age. Jesus doesn't care how long it's been. He's just glad for your sake that it's today. My life for yours, he says, and he means it. So what does it look like to be alive? To live awake and alive, or at least to live waking up and starting to be alive? We walk by faith and not by sight. It means believing what we know to be true and living what we know to be true, whether we feel it or not. We were made to be alive, not only on Easter Sunday, but every single day, alive to Jesus, our brother, alive by the Holy Spirit, alive as children of the Heavenly Father, alive and awake. So open your eyes, really open them. Feel free to rub the crusties out of them and to take a good long stretch and look at the people around you, the people in your home, in your work, and in your community. Look at your life Monday through Friday and see it for the first time. See those people around you and those things that God has given you through Jesus' eyes, his living and open eyes. See them like you've just woken up and walked out of the tomb. See them through the lens of love and mercy and forgiveness and peace. And see all the colors of the world, from the red of his blood to the glorious white of his resurrection. This is no dream. This is only the beginning. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.